Stop. This recording may contain content not suitable for younger audiences. Every trip to Josh Miller's barbershop is an adventure. I happened to be recording yesterday when I went to get a haircut, and I can't help present this material. It is so typical of I don't know if it's this neighborhood, this barbershop, the younger generation, or what, but it's an interesting podcast. The only thing is, it's a barbershop, there's men around, so there's some talking about probably drinking a little bit more than anything, but there's an interesting character comes in, and just sort of a typical time over at Josh Miller's barbershop, and probably a bit to do with being in the South and younger generation. So anyway, if you are younger or sensitive to maybe some more let's say less cultured content, you may want to just go ahead and delete this one. You are, by the way, listening to the music of Andre Louis. Check out his website at AndreLouis.com. That's AndreLouis.com. And now, here is the barber adventure.
Five Cool Tech, June 21, 2006. Hey y'all, how you doing? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Boy, that air conditioner there makes it kind of hard to cross the street. Good boy, little buddy. Hope you'll join me today. We're going to have a cut cast. Thought I'd try to interview my barber. He's kind of an interesting character. He's a young guy, which is what makes me really like him. Not that I don't like older guys. In fact, the guy that had this shop before him was probably about 90 when he retired from this shop. He had actually retired from the barbershop in the mall. And boy, I wish I was podcasting back then, because this guy used to tell me all these stories about being back in World War II with General Patton. Really interesting stuff. Good boy, little buddy. So, this guy's name is Josh. And we'll just see what happens. I was actually supposed to meet Barbara Henning today for another walk, and I was going to really try to persuade her to tell us more about piano tuning. We had a little bit of interest in that, but it's too hot out here. Let's go right, little buddy. We're going a different way from going home. We're actually walking west on Frankfort Avenue now. Hey, what you guys think about the hollering contest? I got the biggest kick out of that. And Don, you make some excellent recordings, buddy. Keep those things coming in. I still think you should have got the pink sunglasses, though, but oh well. Yeah, they would have gone with my pink Crocs that I've been trying to get. That really was an excellent recording, though, so really appreciate that. Good boy, little buddy. What you taking me around? That's it. It's not so bad over here in the shade. Very, very humid today. Very humid. How about... That's it, little buddy. Go ahead. Oh, there you are.
Here you are.
Hey.
Larry or Gary?
Larry.
There it is. I can't remember. It's Gary something. It's not hairy.
Hairy head. No, I'm not hairy after I get out of here. Whoa.
Killer fit in here.
Hey there, killer dog. I guess we can just let him play, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Jake. Don't tear that dog up too bad.
Can't kill the dog. It costs a lot of money. You got it right there.
Hey, man. You ever heard of a podcast?
Podcast?
Yep.
What's that?
It's like a radio show on the internet.
Podcast.
Yeah.
What's the point of it? Like a concert and watching the internet?
Different things. I was going to do one of the barbershop today, if you don't mind me recording you.
Yeah, I don't care. How do you do it?
I'm recording right now.
Oh, okay.
All right, Jake.
It will be used against you in the court of the internet.
That's right, man. Well, you got Sheba some good cold water there, huh?
Well, that's your dog treating.
Yeah, I know.
Sheba's sitting in air conditioning all night.
So is he till just now.
Let me see if I can remember this. Block, you're going to leave the tail?
You know what? I think I'm going to ditch the tail, man.
Okay, just block that off.
Yeah. What's the coolest?
I guess.
What's the style these days? Just do whatever you think looks best, man.
A lot of the guys that come in here, they don't have any hair, period, on the sides, so there is no line or tape to do.
Oh. Well, I should be grateful.
I guess I could just do like a combination of the two.
Hey, that sounds good.
And you want this like an inch long?
Yeah, really short.
And this about the same?
Hmm?
Sideburns, you want those Elvis down low? Or
no.
High?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I don't care what she does. I just can't stand when she starts to yak.
What's the matter, girl? Come here. Oh, that's not you, Sheba. That's Jake. Come here, Sheba.
Come here, Sheba.
Come here, girl.
There she is.
Hey, girl, you got a harness on?
Yeah.
Has Josh herself. Been using you for a guide dog?
Yeah. Oh, you wouldn't believe this guy that I saw in Indianapolis. I had to laugh.
This guy
was sitting down collecting money. And he had this damn dog sitting next to him with just a regular leash. But it was real fat, padded leash around his collar, around his neck. And then he was bumming money. And he had this sign that said something like... veteran or something. You know, this guy's like maybe like 40, 50. And he wasn't even 50. He was probably like late 30s. I mean, and he was sitting there and he had this stupid sign that said, this is a service dog.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I'm thinking, I live right next to the damn blind school and I've never seen a damn guide dog that had that stupid leash on it. I go, it's a big leather thing with that big stick shaped thing you grab onto. It's not just a stupid leash. And then the leash was real fat and it said in these big letters something like, don't pet me, I am an in-service dog or something. And this guy was sitting there, I swear to God, he could see just as good.
Well, see, they have service dogs that are for other things besides blind people. You know, like...
Before then.
Well, some, like if people are...
I don't think he was blind.
No, they have them for people like to open the doors for them if they're in a wheelchair or whatever.
He wasn't in a wheelchair either. He was sitting on the ground holding a damn cup.
I don't know.
And my mom and I are looking at him going, besides the fact that that guy just looks like a redneck, there's nothing wrong with this guy.
I wonder why he needed a service.
And the funny thing was, like, right when I was watching him, some lady, we were just at a stoplight, right when we were watching him, some lady came up and put a bill in this oven in his cup. Yeah. I'm gonna get out here. This guy's making more cash than I am.
Heck with the barber business, huh?
Yeah, some of those bums make about $250 a day. I've never made that much cutting.
I tell you what, I've heard those guys over there in New York where they wash your windows and sort of hold you hostage for money.
Yeah.
I heard they make a pretty good living.
What do they make? They didn't know.
It seems like I heard like $100,000 a year, man, which is
like $10,000 in Louisville.
Yeah, that's true.
You're like homeless.
Peanuts.
$100,000.
there was some story in the paper or something that some guy went down nosing around downtown. This guy was walking around bumming money off people. And he would get dressed. Basically, he lived probably every bit as good as you do, or better, and had a normal life. But then he would dress up like a bum and go downstairs and bum all day.
That was his job.
He would take off the crappy clothes. And then he'd be back at it. Well, actually, he wasn't quite doing... Well, he'd probably make as much money as you, but he didn't actually have a house. So at the end of the day, he'd go, like, rent a nice hotel. And, you know, not like the Sealback or anything, but, you know, not like a dingy crack motel. You know? He's probably, you know, like maybe like the Holiday Inn on Broadway or something. You know, whatever. It's something decent. He'd go rent a hotel tonight and... I think he was saying he was making maybe $200 a day.
Nice.
You know, I mean, that's a lot of cash. I mean, I broke my neck yesterday cutting hair and made just a little over 100.
Yeah, you had them lined up in here yesterday, man. I've never seen it that busy.
The only day that was busier than that was the day before I left to go on the vacation.
Oh, everybody knew you were going?
I made probably almost $125 that day. I mean, they were just. That day I got here at 7. Yesterday I got here at 3. So they were all back to back yesterday. I mean, it was all back to back, except for I had an hour break before the last haircut at 7:30. The last guys were finally clearing out around 6 something.
Dang. Yeah, I knew I wasn't gonna wait around. It'd probably been about 6.
You know, that's when I just start. Butchering people, like, okay, get in the chair, get out.
Well,
hey, in those 5 minutes, hey, we got 10 guys waiting.
At least you're not like Cole Carl, man. That dude would take 2.5 hours to cut your hair.
That's because nobody came in for all he had 2 hours.
And he'd talk, snip, talk. One cut. He'd love to talk.
Yeah, I came here to get that job. I remember I came here and I was like, well, you know, can I get a job here? You know, I went downtown and I worked for a little while and now I'm out of a job. And, you know, a barber, it only takes them like probably a few hours to find a new job. There's always somebody ready to take you in. Oh, yeah, sure, you can come in here and cut hair and pay me $100 what you make, you know. So Carl was like, oh, I don't make any money in here. He goes, there's only enough money for me in here, you know. It's not very busy in here or whatever. And I was like, all right. And somehow he goes into some story about some guy that was in some kind of a dugout thing in the war. And he was
right.
And the guy wouldn't come out. And I don't know what the story was. And finally, after about a half an hour of this story that had nothing to do with me getting the job, I was like, I got to get going here, bud. You're not going to give me a job. I got to go find somebody
that will. Yeah, he'd love to talk about the war.
The whole time I was in here, nobody was in here getting a haircut or anything, so he was ready to tell me about that war.
So how'd you get started with the barbering, Josh?
I was cutting. Well, because now I want to be a pro pool player and all that crap.
Yep.
So back when I was like 23, my buddy came up with some stupid idea that he met some guy that's some hillbilly guy out in J-Town that's like a biker or something, and this biker guy told him, well, I could even start a barbershop for only $20,000. Really, it takes a lot less than that. But he was like, well, we can have our own barbershop, and then you could have our own barbershop, and then you could put your pool table up there, and you could practice like enough to where you got as good as a pro. And then I was like, okay. So then, like a couple weeks later, I went over and got into barber school. And then he was in another city, so he said he went to the barber school, but then he said he didn't like it and quit. And I liked it enough that I was like, oh, well, hell, I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to get my damn barbershop with the pool table in.
So you still got your table in here?
Nah, it's gone now. I got it out of like a month ago. I figured if I wasn't a pro by the time I'm 30.
Stick with the barber enough.
But that table was so crappy that I couldn't make any money. I mean, I couldn't. It was a $150 Kmart table. So yeah. Even though I had the opportunity to practice so many, you know, hours and hours and hours a day, it wasn't too similar to a real pool table.
Yeah.
So just the fact that I'm whacking balls around wasn't quite you know, it almost made you worse.
Oh, yeah.
So I finally just said the hell with it. So I get on these other tables that were bigger and had smaller pockets, and it was taking up the whole shop. So I said, hell, let's just make this place look like a regular barbershop. I'd probably get just as much benefit going and playing a few hours on a real tournament, you know, table with tiny pockets, huge area, everything.
So you try to practice every day? Pretty much.
I've gotten worse just since I've gotten it out of here. Because whenever I wasn't cutting somebody's hair or trying to take a nap so I could find the energy to play pool, I was playing pool. And I could already tell I was getting worse. I've only won like one or two tournaments since I got out of here. And that's probably, and it would have probably been about four or five tournaments if I would have still had it in here.
Well, maybe you ought to get you a professional one put in here.
Well, it's a small ass room. You know,
yeah.
And if I did have a, I always get pissed off and say I want to go out and get a big barbershop and all that crap, but then your LG&E is just going through the roof.
It sure is.
I mean, like, I got my LG&E bill today, and it was $46. If he tripled the size of this room, I guess the LG&E is probably going to triple too.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be getting $150 bills in the mail. I'm really going to be pissed off. Yeah.
I'd love to see a $46 LG&E bill.
You know, I got all my long distance and all that crap cut off the phone, so that's only 60, but, you know, that doesn't have anything to do with the size of the shop. You know, then I'd have to get some other barbers in here, and other barbers just are annoying. Because I can deal with the most pain-in-the-ass customer in the world, because I only used to have to deal with them as long as the haircut, basically.
Right.
Well, you got some idiot standing next to you for 10 hours a day.
Good point.
You wake up in the morning, you just want to slit your wrist instead of going to work. It's like, I have to see this stupid asshole. Listen to these stupid jokes about something stupid all day. Smart aleck comment about something, you know. That was the main, I forgot why I like working here so much. When I left my other barbershop, I was so happy to be in a room by myself.
Yep, you can talk to yourself. Yeah, you can have an intelligent conversation.
I just pop in a videotape and watch it. There's nobody to complain about what I'm watching. It looks
Did you guys have enough there, doggies?
Well, your dog's laying down. His big butt got tired.
I was going to say, he better conserve that energy for the walk home, because it's hot out there.
See, well, you're going to have this dog keeling over.
Man, it was so hot one summer. That other dog I had, he went on strike on me. On the way home, and he just sat down. I'm not doing this.
Wasn't it getting a hair bit old, though, of the dog?
Not really.
You couldn't see. I mean, oh.
Well, he can't see, but...
He's not that old. He's only like four.
Well, he's seven now. Seven. Yeah.
How old was he when he just went...
That was about probably 3 years ago. So, yeah, he was about four. About Jake's age. Jake's too goofy.
I get so tired when I walk out there on those real hot days. I had some terrible days last summer when it was real super duper hot.
Yeah.
And it was so humid you couldn't even breathe out there. And I remember I called my girlfriend a couple times, and I'm only talking about walking to Dairy Mart 3 blocks away.
Yeah.
And I tell her I'm going to have her drive from next door to Clifton Pizza 8 blocks away to down here. I'm like, why don't you come on down here to take my ass to the store? She's like, it's only 3, but she knew how hot it was. And I was like, it's 100 degrees out. You know, I go, I'm going to die with my anxiety attacks. I get out there and I start thinking I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I'm like halfway there. I'm like, well, I'm too far to turn back. And the store's halfway there.
What do I do now?
It's a good thing I was on that cross-country state championship team, because when I get panicky about crap like that, I start just jogging to get where I'm going faster. I just,
well, there you go.
I knew if I was a 600-pound fat guy, I couldn't just start jogging.
Right.
Everybody's like, oh, I saw you jogging. Oh, I was just having an anxiety attack. I was trying to get to the store because I knew it was air-conditioned and it was cool in there. Another time I was trying to walk those damn kids from here. I was watching the kids, and they were all about 9 or 10 or whatever. So we're walking, and it's like 100 degrees out, and we're walking home from the barbershop, and I stopped and got a beer at the store. For the rest of the walk home, I was just going to carry it and drink it when I got there. But we get like half a block past Dairy Mart towards Clifton Pizza, and I start having one of those freak out anxiety attacks. I'm like, I'm so hot, I'm going to faint. I know I'm going to faint. I'm going to die right now. And so I just said, screw it, and I cracked open that big cold son of a bitch, and I started chugging it right out of the can. I was like, oh God, I almost hope a cop car stops. At least it's air conditioning.
And that prevented you from having an anxiety attack,
it
though.
It relaxed me a little bit. It always does. It's like my cure-all. I was at the Redneck Bar the other night in the pool tournament. I was thinking, I was having some kind of stupid medical problem of some sort, and I was thinking, I'll be all right as soon as I get down a few of these beers out of this pitcher. And then I was thinking,
that'd be a good thing for Jeff Foxworthy. You might be a redneck if you think that beer is the cure for almost every medical ailment.
Good point.
It doesn't matter what's wrong. Oh, my foot's hurting. Oh, I'm just throwing the beer. Oh, have an anxiety attack. Drink some of the beer. Oh, pissed off by something. Depressed. Oh, drink some of the beer.
We'll have to send that in to Jeff Foxworthy.
I think I get some kind of royalty off of that. I know he hadn't thought of it yet. He probably thought of it some other way.
Yeah, he's got some good ones.
I printed off the internet a long time ago, a thing about the white trash. It was basically the same thing, but they switched redneck with white trash.
Oh, yeah.
I said, you might be white trash, yeah. Da, 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 da. And I printed them out and I put them on my refrigerator, my grandma's. And I pretty much had them like all memorized by the time I moved away from there, so I've got 500 of them just like right offhand, you know, blurt out. Like most people can only think of like 3 of them. I guess I think of probably like 10 or 20 right off the top of my head.
I'm gonna lay a couple of them on me.
You might be a redneck. You might be white trash if you think that Dom Perignon is a mafia leader. The other one I like that relates to me is, you might be white trash if you were shooting pool when any of your kids were born. We're sitting down at the, I actually was at the hospital. I wanted to be shooting pool. I would have been shooting if they had a name on the table there. The other one. Yeah. The other one of them was, you might be a redneck if your wife has ever said, come in here and move this transmission so I can take a bath. you might be white trash if you refer to the day your ship came in was when you won a case of motor oil. When your ship came in.
So do you have any special techniques for cutting hair? I mean, you just follow a basic recipe all the time? Or
basically all you do is just cut the, well, on a haircut like yours, all you do is you just take a big chunk out of it until it's as short as you want, and then you just even everything up with that chunk.
Okay.
Hold it like to the left, and then you hold it to the front, and you'll just keep nipping away till it's all even.
Okay.
And then just, I don't know, basically you just kind of look at whatever haircut it is, and you just think of it in your mind and just make it look like it. Pretty easy after.
Well, you do a good job too.
Since 99, I've been doing it almost every day.
And how old are you, Josh?
30. I started when I was 23. I know I was the second youngest barbershop owner in the whole city, as far as I know, because my buddy, we worked at the same place, and I was 25, and he was a year younger than me, and like 6 months later he got his own shop, and then 6 months or so, about 9 months after that, I got my own shop when I was 26. I was pretty young.
Now, you talking about this shop here?
Yeah, I've got this one.
Well, you've been here that long already,
yeah,
huh?
2002.
I'll be darned.
It'll be 4 years this September.
Keep thinking of you as the new guy.
Yeah. You might be getting old if you yeah. 4 years from ago. It means you just got here.
Right. Exactly.
A lot of people around here are because they've all known their neighbors and crap for like 20 years, you know, and then like it kind of seems like I just got here, you know.
Yeah.
I'm 30 and I was here when I was 26, you know. I'm like a complete young lunatic, and I'm like at least making a slight effort to be mature.
However slight it may be. Hey, do you still do the straight razor shaves?
Yeah, I'm probably one of the only... Well, a lot of the black barbers would do it because they have to... You know, those black guys need, like, perfect straight hair lines around this. But as far as just regular old white barber shop, I'm probably one of the only guys that does it.
I mean, I'll take one if you want to lay it on me.
Yeah.
How much are they?
I usually charge like $5. But they're basically, I use those sterile replacement blades.
Yeah.
And then, like, a lot of the old barbers, they always come up with some dumb excuse like, well, I don't want to have to, they say we can't do it anymore because of AIDS, or they'll come up with some stupid excuse because they don't want to have to fool with it for, like, a while, you know, so since I'm one of the only guys that does it, I'm like, everybody's like, nobody will do it anymore, nobody will do it. I'm like, well, hell, I'll do it, you know.
Yeah.
If there's people that want it, I'll do it.
So did you give up on your sharpening with that big leather strap and all that?
I never learned how to do it.
Because you were practicing that here a while back.
I was trying to. I don't think I did any good. When I was at that stupid barber school, the teacher just taught us to take these replaceable blades, stick them in your little razor holder or whatever, and it's already just super duper sharp.
Okay.
And it's good enough for like one or two shaves.
Yeah.
It's real good on the first one, and then it's like, you can probably get like halfway through another shave before it starts yanking on hairs or something.
So when you bought this barbershop, you got the chairs and everything, huh?
Yeah. The other one, everything was in here, this whole back bar area where you can hang the clippers and mirrors and lights built into it and stuff. And then that's another reason why I don't want to have to move, because I walked in here and I was ready to cut hair 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'd have to go, you know, build something, you know, put mirrors up, you know, all that crap. It's a lot easier. Some old guy like Palmer was already hanging out in here.
Yeah.
You just walk in and you're just like, all right, well, he's gone and I'm taking over and you're ready to go. And I didn't even have my own stuff here. Palmer left every piece of barber.
Did he?
Anything you'd need sitting here.
Hmm.
So I just like grabbed a pair of his clippers that were already hanging there and just whacked away on this first guy that walked through the door.
Well, I guess he just walked out one day, got sick enough where he couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah,
huh?
They said he died like a week after he did his last haircut. So he basically like did it right up to the end.
Right.
I guess he was just like, I feel like crap, take him to the hospital, and then he died like a week later, I guess. And then I went by and saw that he had the sign in the window. I think he'd been trying to sell it forever.
Oh, had he?
Yeah, he'd been trying, because I told somebody with my other barbershop, I was like, there's somebody selling that barbershop up on Franker Avenue, that old guy that was up there. And then he said some crap, like he didn't think it'd be a good idea or something to go buy it or something, but he didn't know how much it was or anything.
Yeah.
He just wanted to sit around and have the owner of the other barbershop take care of all the business, and all he'd have to do is come in, cut hair, put up with his boss, and then give the guy $95 a week. I finally got tired, because one week I only made $102 and I was going to have to give this guy $95 of it.
Yeah. Well, this building here, this has been a barbershop for, you know how long?
They said they traced it. Jim West, the guy that owned it for like 30 years from like the late 60s to like the 90s, he told me that he traced it back, and they did a story in the newspaper, but they know that it was the very earliest record, 1901, that it was here. And they said that it was probably here even before that. They didn't even keep records of it.
Oh, as a barbershop?
Yeah, as a barbershop.
I thought maybe this was a house at first or something.
No, there's even a picture at the Cliftons of you can see the edge of the barbershop in the picture.
Is that right?
Yeah, they used to have a cover in front of it, and you could see that cover hanging over the sidewalk.
I'll be darned.
But you couldn't see the actual barbershop, but they're taking a picture of the corner across the street.
Yeah, Jim West was the barber when I first started coming here in the 80s.
Stop that. Here's Staffordshire, that's why.
He said it was from 68 is when he first bought it. He was 26, just like I was.
Oh, was he?
But he bought the whole building.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how he swung that. But I guess he just got some loan or something, had some good job before that or something.
What's he got?
Well, he, I think he's starting to get a little crazy at the end there.
Yeah, he stops driving past me every now and then. He is crazy.
Oh, does he still come by?
Yeah, he'll stop by like once every year and a half. And he comes by so rarely that when he comes back again, I won't know who he is.
Yeah.
He'll have to remind me. He'll be like, "You remember me?" I'll be like, "I don't know. What do you want, a haircut? I don't know. Who are you?" He's like, "No, I'm Jimmy West." I'm like, oh yeah, of course. Yeah. I remember you. You said mine in 2002. Now it's 2004.
Right.
I've only seen the guy twice. Like, remember me. Like, I don't know. I remember you. Why don't you tell me again?
You do have room for one more, yeah?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So... it's a hot mother out
it
there.
It is hot.
That's why I'm hiding in the air conditioning.
God, you call this air conditioning.
That's what I was going to say. I thought this was hell.
That's why I got used to it.
He's kind of right. I see you undid that thing so you can get even more air out of it.
Yeah, I cleaned the filter, and then somebody figured out that I didn't have it turned all the way up.
Right. It'll work now.
Right now, it's probably the heat of the day. And it was 71 a few hours ago, and now it's gone up to where it's 75.6 degrees in here.
Oh, my God.
Somehow, I sent my girlfriend with the white barber coat home, and I'm stuck in the black barber coat, attracting more heat. And then I had her wash all the
tape.
Just
take it off. Who cares? We won't care.
Larry's sitting here in the black barber cape, just attracting more heat.
Woo-hoo.
You have a white one?
I had all kinds of different color ones. I always use a yellow one, but it was filthy looking. I go, God, I go, this thing needs to be washed.
Everybody's throwing their trash out, so you got all these trash diggers out there.
You know, I'll go out and join them after work.
I might too, because you know, I saw this guy carry away such a nut. You know, one person's trash is another.
Exactly.
I mean, if you get the right piece, like a piece of furniture, like he had, Jesus, it was beautiful.
I walked away from a guy's trash with a pair of skis one time, which really looked funny because it was in the middle of July and we're walking down the street with these skis over our shoulders. Yeah. I know, you know, usually when I put trash out or for junk day, it never makes it till they come to pick it up. Usually there's people out there. As soon as you lay it down, they're out there.
This joint next door got evicted. The guy that had some kind of jewelry store.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out he was some kind of a master embezzler, but he was always getting caught, so I guess he wasn't a master.
He wasn't exactly a master.
I wouldn't say habitual screw-up embezzler. So somehow he had this little jewelry store next door, and he stole a bunch of crap from the guy that really owned it. But he told all of us that he owned it. The next thing I know, everything in the whole joint's sitting out in the front yard. People are up here asking me, do they need those mirrors and the dresser? I mean, like, everything. I'm like...
You're kidding me.
I was like, well, I've been arrested enough that I know I'm not going to go up on that man's property and start carrying away stuff. So I'm like, you can if you want. If it's on the sidewalk, you can take it.
If it's on the sidewalk, it's good to go.
No, it was in the yard, almost to the sidewalk, getting rained on. You know, so like...
Then I don't think he gave a crap about it.
No, I think he was just running from the law.
That's
pretty much what it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the guy just, boom, disappeared. Never saw him again.
That's
and then a couple weeks later or whatever, I'm seeing crap throwing out, you know, left all in the thing, all the junk pickers or whatever coming by asking me, God, I like this antique whatever. And, you know, I'm like, yeah. Well, one time I saw a bottle of wine on somebody's front of a door sitting there, a deserted apartment door, and I went up with my drunk ass and took it, and there was a cop carrying me off 20 minutes later. You know, so
I think that was
So ever since then, I'm not going. And they said, I was like, what? It was just sitting there in front of this door. Well, you went on private property and you took it. It was 5 in the morning. Why was this bottle of wine sitting there?
Yeah, that's nuts.
You know, I mean, what did this guy get off?
You're talking years ago, I'm sure.
Like a year ago, a year and a half ago.
You love your drink.
Yeah, I was walking home. I was walking home from the bar, and
he's drinking a beer.
I was walking home from the bar, and I'm trying to find some house of somebody I know, but I'd been there before when I was drunk.
But so your head looks nice.
I couldn't find it, you know.
Oh my God! What a story. Well, you got a lot of those if you get drunk.
Old drunk stories. I was mad about that one.
My friend got so drunk, he goes, "That's how I had my baby." Now I got a little baby.
And then I get drunk again. That's how I put up with the baby's mother.
Yeah. Well, you did a nice job on the gentleman's hair.
He always does a good job.
You can tell, huh, just by the way it feels.
Yeah.
That and his girlfriend or whatever looks at it.
Probably I try to do it a little more than once a month, but Josh's a hard guy to get hold of sometimes.
I'm always, you know, in jail for some wine-related incident.
You run this place yourself, John?
Yeah, who else would hire me?
Yeah. Well, see, I run my own business, too.
What do you do? What do you do?
I'm a tile contractor.
Tile, you say?
Yeah, I work on people's kitchens and bathrooms.
I had to get your number from you. I'm thinking about
I live in California. I'm just...
Oh, never mind.
It'd be a high-priced job.
I actually have a friend down the street, but... Unless you want to do something in September, I'll be back in September.
Okay.
I get good deals. I'm a traveler. No, I bought a house in Kansas I'm remodeling. I flip houses.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
You can't do it in California. It's too expensive.
Yeah.
You can do it here in Louisville. But those houses are like $10,000 each. And you put a couple grand into it and make it look new, and then you make a few thousand out of it.
Yeah. That's some hard work, though, isn't it?
Oh, boy. You ain't a kid. You ain't a kid.
You do marble tiles too?
I do marble, granite, anything you want. Why, what are you doing? An entryway or something?
I'm gonna do a bathroom.
Counters?
No, just the walls and the floor.
In marble?
Yep.
Do you have a second bathroom or is it?
Yeah. Yeah, I got one.
Yeah, I don't work on people's bathrooms. Yeah. I usually charge, if you want to know a ballpark, because you could get a couple of estimates.
Okay.
For marble work, with the walls and the shower, are you going to keep the same tub?
Yeah.
Okay. The same toilet, too?
Uh-huh.
And the countertop, what do you got going?
All I've got is a sink, so I'm keeping the same sink and everything.
It's like a... one of those...
like a pedestal kind of thing, yeah.
Oh, okay, well that makes it easy. The room's 5 feet wide by probably 7 or 8 feet long.
It's probably about 6 by 8, yeah, something like that.
Okay,
she was jealous. You're jealous.
With materials or without?
She's making them.
Give it to me both ways.
Okay, well... I get a discount off the materials, so...
Okay.
And usually, marble goes for around $5 a square foot.
Okay.
My price, have you checked?
I hadn't priced it.
I will call around, and you'll know they're $7 to $9.
Okay.
I'll get them for $5, and it looks
$5
like...
$5 for a marble square.
Right. That comes in white and gray mix.
Uh-huh.
It comes in white and gray, comes in a reddish blossom color with gray streaks.
Uh-huh.
And then they got another one. Well, they got several. And they got a jasmine color. I'm just telling you all the price, the cheapest one. Okay. All the other ones are beyond, you shouldn't even really.
Oh, really?
Right, they're like $10. Razor?
Yeah.
All
right. 6 times 8. You want it wainscoted all around, you know, 3 feet tall, around the bath too, or just the floor and the shower.
Now, what's wainscoted?
Well, I could put it up on the wall 3 feet high, 3.5.
Really?
I'd actually like it all the way up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Some people do, like Europeans.
Yeah.
Well, I'm European, so I know how it is.
You don't have to jump up, I'll just make it where you're sticking your head back a little bit.
Okay.
You're looking at 200 square feet. So you're looking at is 6 times 8?
48.
Yeah, 40 plus the walls. The shower walls are always 50.
Okay.
You're going all the way up on the wall. So that's 100 100 there, plus about another 100 for the rest of the walls, because you want to go all the way up, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
And then you'll have a little left over probably, but not much.
Okay.
And I can do it on the diagonal on the floor and on the walls, do it straight up.
Uh-huh.
So it looks really, really like a hotel, like.
Okay.
A spa bath, I should say.
Yeah.
And
Ooh, that feels good.
Oh, you shaved too?
Yeah.
Yeah, straight razor.
Straight razor. We keep it all the way old school in here.
Boy. Hadn't had one of those in a while, I bet.
I'm almost.
But not since my past life when I was in the 30s.
Oh my God. You trust him? I'm just kidding. Right, you've probably been here
for... Yeah, he's like, yeah, right. Josh, drink another beer before you do it. Right.
No, I don't smell any alcohol on your breath.
Because no smoking. Speaking of that, can I have a cigarette? Can I bum a cigarette off you?
You want menthol? Sure. She got regular ones.
I would like regular. I saw her with her hands. Are you like... Don't tell me that's the last
drink
you want.
Oh, I'm
going. Oh, no.
Well,
I'll give
you
the tip.
Did you show him that
chessboard?
Who?
Did he
know about Marvel?
Oh,
yeah, you know about Marvel.
Oh, there's a cigarette right there.
Oh, yeah.
Those little
GT1s. I like that box.
Remember you didn't want
Jesus
that?
Jesus Christ.
Remember you didn't want those because you didn't like them?
Yeah, I know.
But are those menthol?
What? They're not menthol yet.
Well, hell, I didn't
That's
have to take her out of cigarette. The one inside of it's better.
Can you tell if this this thing right here is marble?
Just show it to me and I'll let you know exactly.
Well, I bought it from this rich guy that was selling everything in his house in Chicago the other day when I was out of town. Let me take this off. He told me he wasn't sure. He bought it in Mexico for $100 American 20 years ago.
It's real marble. This is black. This is onyx.
Yeah, he said it's onyx and marble.
Yeah, it is.
And he said it was worth $100. He paid $100 American in Mexico, and in Mexico,
he got ripped off, but that's okay.
That's what I figured.
It's still worth $150. I'll tell you that.
Nowadays.
But I'll tell you what they're missing.
Why not these stupid chest pieces?
Oh, then that's what's. Well, then it's not missing it.
Well, his dumb ass had kids at that time.
How much did you pay for this?
Oh, I bought it for $10.
Well, you got it.
Well, you got a deal. Even without the chest pieces.
You know what? These glue together.
That's what he said, but they're not going to look too pretty.
No, they'll look fine. You want to know why?
Why?
Because you're going to scrape all this old glue shit off.
Yeah.
And you're going to use epoxy that's clear. And you got it made.
Well, how do you get epoxy? Don't those airplane guys have to mix those two together?
You can buy it right down the street at Ace, down the road a little ways. Mm-hmm. To the right, there's an Ace Hardware. They have an epoxy. It's a two thing. It comes in two little tubes.
Yeah, mix
like this, and it mixes itself when you push. Well, yeah, you mix it like this, but it kind of you mix it itself with the end of the tube.
Yeah,
it's $4. You can get that whole thing done, and then you'll have yourself a very very nice chest set.
What's the pieces made out of?
Onyx.
Oh, are they?
And some are black marble and the other ones are onyx.
Hmm.
So you think that thing is, someone with the pieces is worth more, I guess.
When you glue these up and glue them up, You got yourself a $100 chess game there. Jeez. It'll look good on the table, too.
So what pawn shop do you think will buy this from me?
I don't know. I'm not a pawn shop.
No, I'd probably keep it.
I'm the kind of guy that goes to pawn shops for good deals.
Me too.
I kind of need a stereo. But not all, no, I need a Sony to match the other stuff.
Oh, like a receiver?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let me see. Well, what's 200 pieces times 5? Isn't that like $200? Or is it 2,000?
I got a calculator over here. Times.
Well, it'd be 1,000, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's $1,000. There you go.
See? Okay, for the material?
Yeah, 1,000 materials plus another. You're probably going to have to. You got a Louisville home, so for sure I'm going to find dry rot behind the walls, you know?
Oh, I hope not, but I guess we ought to count that in just
in
case.
Well, it's only another $100 worth of wood.
Okay. Basically.
And, really, you're supposed to just charge 3 times, but I just do 2. That's why I beat everybody else's price. And I'm good, and I got references. I work for Cobwell Banker or BMAX.
Yeah.
And I'm licensed, which is important.
You're what?
Licensed.
Oh, yeah, that is important.
So you're not getting just no, I've been in the business 20 years.
Well, I'm not licensed.
I guess with material and everything, about $3,200.
Okay.
Which is a deal for marble. Now, let's say you want just plain nice tile, beautiful tile.
Uh-huh.
I could do it for $1,800. Now, don't talk anymore.
Hmm.
Sheba, can you get them to come over and play with you? Because I'm not going to cut his damn throat because two dogs are fighting.
Now there's a good idea.
the officer's like, now explain to me why you cut the blind guy's throat. Well, my illegal pit bull was under my feet and tripped me, and I slashed it with the sharpest razor known to man on the market.
She's a Staffordshire ultimate little puppy, I think. Puppy.
She's not a pup. We've had her dumb ass for a couple years. She just acts like an immature
dog.
Dog. Yeah, she's
oh, you got the same harness he's got outside. So I thought they were both
pit. Hey, Sheba, come here.
He's got a pit bull guide dog.
Yeah, don't let me walk out of here with the wrong dog.
Yeah. Well, his is some kind of fabric and yours is.
Yeah, I've just got like a regular Family Dollar or whatever. Kmart harness. It's amazing how good these things cut the very first time you use them. I mean, they're just super sharp. They're right over.
Shit, if I had a place like this, I'd live in the back and save money.
Yeah, the only reason I can't do that is because I don't own it, so the landlord just rents it to.
Would never freaking know.
Well, there isn't any back to it, there's just a bathroom. A little tiny bathroom and a little tiny closet.
There is a door there.
There is actually in the attic, though, there's a big area that's big enough to, like, sleep in. Yeah,
there you go.
But, I mean, there's no stairs to get up there. You got to be, like, an acrobat to get up there.
They got those stairs for $50. You can climb it up there and you just pull a thing and it comes down. That's no way to live. She's looking at me, that ain't good.
It's like where you would hide somebody if they just committed murder, you know? Like, it's like Anne Frank or something.
Jesus, you got a wild imagination.
Now, you wouldn't want to stay up there unless you were looking at going to jail. Otherwise, I'd just sleep on that couch right there.
You're good at that. Maybe I'll have you be mine. Contemplating. I do need a haircut. How much more
does it take? Oh, it's just like $5 more.
Alright.
It's worth it.
Yeah, I believe it. And you can do around the goatee and stuff.
Yeah.
You probably shave it.
Or if you're overly paranoid, I can just use the regular razor.
I'm not. Actually, I've always, since the cowboy movies, I don't even care if you cut me a little bit.
I'm not going to say that. No.
You'll think totally different when that razor's right up against your throat. Can you just forget that thing I said about I don't care if you cut me?
Oh, my God.
Man, that is nice. That is a close shave.
Well, this place has been a damn barber shop since first days it's been built, it looks like.
Yeah, I don't know when it was built, but I can tell it's the earliest they know.
Now that picture's not
from here. Yeah, that picture's not from here.
It looks identical.
It pulls a lot of people, though.
Looking for... it isn't. You're right.
It just looks like the doorway.
Do you know what? It's almost identical, though, I'll tell you.
This place was here when that picture was taken, I know that. Because that picture had to have been from probably the 30s or 40s or something.
Oh, yeah.
Who told you that
he's
here?
Oh, Pretty Boy Floyd. They
pretty
said that.
Pretty Boy Floyd.
Well, Jim West said that, take that with us.
He said, what about Pretty Boy Floyd?
He said that supposedly. He went into a big 5-minute thing about it, too. So he was like, the guy that used to work here like 25 barbers ago, like in 1910.
Holy shit, you do know the story.
He grew up to be the mobster or whatever in 1920, so he was a little shoeshine boy in here, so he's probably 15 years before the mafia stuff going on. So it was probably like about 1910, something like that. And this barber was married to some lady, and she had a kid that shined shoes in here, and that was Pretty Boy Floyd. And then they got divorced or whatever, and the lady moved to Chicago, and then the kid grew up to be Pretty Boy Floyd.
Oh, he did.
And if you're in here at midnight, you can hear the tongue gun just going up.
No, it wasn't the barber's son?
No, it was like the barber's wife's kid.
The barber's wife's kid.
Yeah.
Pretty Boy Floyd. He's so pretty. He bends over to everybody. Where did that?
Yeah, he was a little pretty boy. He was kind of like Ricky Martin, you know.
Oh, no. You know, I know him personally.
Uh-oh. I saw him on TV the other day talking about children's sex slaves on Oprah.
Oh, you're kidding.
I mean, I didn't...
I dated him.
Uh-oh.
I'm bisexual. I dated Ricky Martin.
No kidding.
I lived in Europe, and I met him in Europe.
Remember when Oprah had him on TV back when he was real popular, and she goes, are you gay? And he wouldn't.
He is.
He wouldn't. I figured he was.
He's bisexual too, actually. What's funny about it is he was like the best group of. See, I was I'm a Cleo when I'm a famous pretty person in Europe, but not here in Oklahoma, which is the way I like it. But in Europe, people stop and know who I am. But that's how I met him. I did a couple of movies. You know, actually, with the guy that's in... He's on top of her.
Sorry about that.
I did movies in Europe is what happened. The guy that's in that French guy that's in the movie with... I can't even think of his damn name right now.
French guy.
And I worked with him. Jesus Christ. My car is forever immortalized in that movie. Baldi. The guy that plays in Da Vinci Code, the French guy.
I
did a movie with him.
Yeah, okay? He was in that movie Deep Blue. He plays a lot of Greek guys and stuff like that. Yeah.
I did a movie with him and Charles Aznavour before he died a couple years ago. And I did a movie with Joaquin D'Almeida, which is kind of like my...
Hey.
You did Desperado, the movie Desperado, and recently The 24.
Oh, the show 24.
Right. He's a good friend of Keith Urban. Anyway, I was in that whole butt for 5 years, and I left to come back to California to get a really good paying job, even though I made good money there, don't get me wrong. But, hey, I made enough money here to buy a house in California. How's that? And what I did was I screwed up. I sold it a few years ago before the rush.
Yeah.
So I really screwed myself. But now I'm going back. I'm going back for 3 months in 2 weeks.
What part of Europe?
She's in her car now.
Where were you, like in France or something?
Portugal. And France, too. They're from France. French people do a lot of movies in Portugal because it's cheaper to film there.
Yeah.
That's where I did all my work, except for MTV Video.
So what's your screen name?
Rogério George. Roger George.
Hmm.
And yeah, I mean, same name as the guy in Desperado.
Yeah.
In fact, I did a movie with him too. He's a good friend of. I haven't met him. I could have, but he was just getting together with Don Johnson's old wife.
So, Melanie Griffith or something?
Right, exactly. So I didn't get to meet Antonio, but they're good friends. In fact, they have a ranch near each other in Marbella, Spain. Actually, I might go out. I might see all these people now that I'm going back for a few months. I'm going to get back into it, I think. I need to make my five-year plan, and since I screwed up coming back here and spent all my money, I screwed up. I sold my house to buy a nightclub up in Niagara Falls. So I lost everything in the nightclub business.
Didn't go good,
and I'll
huh?
never do it again. Yeah, it didn't go well at all.
I started broke in the barber business, and I'm still broke, so I'm even.
Hey, as long as you like doing it.
That's the thing.
That's the whole plan.
Yeah, it's not like I come here like I want to kill myself every day. If I have a $100 day, I'm like, yeah, I'm the man. I come in and I have a $10 day, I'm like, I suck.
Yeah, I only have a few good friends. You know, I got a lot of friends, but I mean, talk about good friends, only like two or three. And one of them is right down the street. He's been my friend since third grade. I'm 41, so you figure out how many years we've known each other for 30. Him and his wife are cool. His wife has like a lesbian sister, so.
Like her already.
It kind of worked out pretty damn good. You know? Just, it was kind of weird at first, but. He's just a good friend. He's good looking too. He's just got everything. I gave him a job years ago. He, you know, when he was going to college, and now he makes $200,000 a year.
Nice.
Yeah, he sells banks for a living, and he used to start out working with me. Anyway, he gets drunk at night. Well, I've been here a week now. He gets drunk at night. Well, you know, we all do, but. He gets drunk and he tells me how I could be a millionaire if I just stayed in California. You know he's right, because I live in Sausalito. I don't know if you know where that's at. Could have bought a house for $200,000. But granted, in the 80s, 200 grand was like a million, trust me. It was like way out of my reach. It kind of wasn't, but it was.
Yeah.
Because I like to travel. So, anyway, make a long story short, I didn't buy the house. The house sold for $2.something million.
Wow.
So, story of my life. But lately I haven't done so bad. It's just, if my parents didn't kind of, see, I was living in their house because they retired. And when they retired, I thought, well, I'm not going to live with my parents. So I moved. That was my downfall. I should have just lived with them for a while. But I couldn't deal with it, to be honest. I had a house down in the Mediterranean that I paid $40,000 for.
$40,000 in American dollars?
Yes, right on the water, too. That was a mistake, because it's worth a fortune now, too. But I sold it, made enough money to buy a place down in...
Is that hurt?
Palm Desert.
Huh? Man, not too bad.
So, that's life. So now I'm backpedaling. I really don't work for anybody, but when I come back, I'll just come see the barber here. He'll know how to get a hold of you, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Meanwhile, you can get a few estimates if you're really interested in getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I kind of want to get back into acting, but you know what? It doesn't really pay the bills if you don't get a couple of good jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But what really did me good is I did a couple of... The movies didn't pay crap, to be honest. I made money off commercials. I won a Clio Award doing commercials. That's why I'm well known. I'm on every freaking channel. There's only four channels, so...
What?
In Portugal, there's only four channels?
Yeah, unless you got cable.
You got cable.
But even then, you're getting four Portuguese channels, and everything else is, you know, satellite. So, and most of them watch Portuguese, so. Yeah, I'm that fat guy they all know, so.
So I guess you can speak Portuguese probably perfect.
Four languages. Quatro línguas, idiomas.
What's the commercial you did over there that you won the award for?
Oh, I do funny comedian crap.
Do you?
Yeah, I jumped in a pool. I screwed my leg up doing that. It was kind of bifoda cadenza is what it's called. That's translation, come in, go out, but stay in. Basically, go out and have fun, but stay in your country. They want you to keep your money in Portugal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, in Portugal, it's so beautiful. They have the Mediterranean on the south, all the end. Then you can hop a ferry boat that goes to Morocco, which I love going.
How far is it from Portugal to Morocco? Aren't they like practically like damn near like
an hour and a half damn thing? But you got to drive into Spain now because Portugal stopped doing the. There are not enough people who are using it.
Spain is the one that almost touches Morocco, right?
Oh yeah, so it's only like 45 minutes. You go to the Rock of Gibraltar, and and it's only $20 to go.
I was just talking with my mom and everybody. We were arguing about where Morocco was. So I said, look, goddammit, and grabbed the globe that was like 10 feet away.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Said, look, this is like touching. You know, she thought it was over like in the Middle East. I was like, it touches Spain, for Christ's sake.
No, you're okay to go to Morocco still. Americans are.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go any further east. I'm going to Europe next week, so.
Is Morocco, since it's in Africa, do the people there look like regular black people?
No.
Or they look like Spanish people?
Spanish.
Oh, right.
And they got turbans. They don't look black at all.
Turbans.
I mean, brown, yeah.
So they're kind of like Arabs, sort of?
Oh, they are Arabs.
Oh, they are Arabs.
Yeah.
Kind of like.
Oh.
No, but see, they like Americans, even though there's some screwed up people there, too. But
you don't have any Bin Ladens hanging out there, do you?
Well, there are. That's where they hang out. So, no, they do. That's their hangout, because they get their pot, and their smoke, and their hash, and their opium, and anything they want. It's really perfect for them, believe it or not. Actually, those places that were bombed back in Egypt and all that, those guys were all from Casablanca and Morocco and shit.
Is Casablanca in Morocco?
Yeah, that's either an hour and a half flight or an overnight train ride, which is the midnight train to Marrakesh, basically. I did that. So I have a friend that was in the Eagles. You've heard of the Eagles?
Yeah, the group.
He's in Thailand right now. He's trying to get me over there for days. He's trying to get me over for day for months. And I said no. And I didn't. Thank God I didn't go because he lost some neighbors and stuff in the type or whatever that.
Oh, tsunami.
Tsunami. Yeah.
Hmm.
But his house is, thank God, it's cool. It was brand new. He bought a brand new 2-story townhouse. Beautiful marble, everything. You know, they do buildings different there. Did the whole thing for $20,000. Got the beach right in front of them.
Do you want straight alcohol or the traditional aftershave crap? Or
I'll do the straight alcohol.
That's going to sting.
So does the traditional, though.
No, it doesn't.
What I usually do is I put like a little bit of aftershave and then like mix it with water.
You don't have cream?
You want the authentic burn?
I just don't like the smell of that aftershave.
Well, I got two different kinds. You want to smell them?
Yeah, let me see what you got.
This is like the special reserve, like they use at the Penn Dentist Club and all that crap.
Okay, that's not so bad.
Right. And this is the other crap that you probably don't like. It's the same thing, but it's not the special reserve. So it's like got a totally different smell.
Yeah, that smells. I like that first one. Right there. That smells like brute.
Well, then I got this straight Nautica cologne that I could put mixed with straight alcohol.
Let's see.
Oh, now you're talking.
It's like
your girlfriend's right.
Smell it?
Yeah, yeah.
Let me just do that. Or sure. This first one. Or?
Well, yeah. Let me go with the first one. That one actually smelled the best to me.
when I get home, I'll hit the bottle. I've been doing more drinking here in Kentucky than I've done in years.
I told you it was going to burn a little bit.
They love to drink.
That feels good.
Real men get burned after.
That's right.
I haven't done any film work for like 3 years now, so I'm kind of, you know, missing it, kind
of. Can you get back in it pretty easily?
I hope so, yeah. They keep calling my mother to answer the phone.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah, I was pretty big for a while, like I said. They were even going to give me my own damn show right before I moved. I really should have thought twice about it, you know that? But I was going through a major kind of deal with, say, if I had. Well, if I could have stayed, see, I'm not that good looking, see, so I couldn't stay with Ricky Martin. I was back then, now I'm out of shape, it's crazy.
So what kind of show were you going to have, like comedy kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly, how'd you guess? That's exactly what I like. I love doing crazy shit.
Yeah.
There's this one skit I did, everybody just like went crazy, because really I was buzzed and I did the wrong thing, but the wrong thing was so funny.
It was funnier than the right thing, huh?
Yeah, actually, I was supposed to be. Well, I was in a big bear suit, and I was supposed to grab her from a park bench and just pretend like I took this lady. It was a total comedy show, right? I grabbed her instead of both legs. I grabbed one in her crotch in her little bikini show, and everybody was laughing. So I was kind of like stuck in. I'll never forget that. My dad's got a Mercedes, and it's funny. It's not funny, but he's diabetic and he lost his eyesight.
Uh-huh.
So he gave it to me, and I didn't. I got my own car, right? So this guy saw this yellow. It looks like a taxi.
Uh-huh.
So the guy that's in Da Vinci Code, he was in a movie called Baldi, a French movie.
Yeah.
He's French. And even though he plays all these other
goofballs, he's really the great guy in that movie Deep Blue.
Exactly.
Or
that's the same guy, exactly.
Yeah, no,
so
exactly.
I did a movie with him, and he goes, we'll give you $100, well, 100 euros
there you
more.
Go. I just charged you like 15, I guess.
Keep change.
Oh, I think.
And so I had the car as a taxi, and it was crazy. Well, you're good to go. You look nice.
Well, thank you. Nice meeting you, and good luck in Europe there with your show and everything. Except for all the blood.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, take care.
Okay.
Nice meeting you.
Have a good one.
Come on, little buddy.
Hi, buddy.
Are you Josh's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sue? Is that your name? I'm Larry. Nice to meet you. So, do I get to take Sheba with me?
Yeah, you have it.
You got
two.
Oh, come on. Let me have yours.
You might end up on their rivers.
See y'all later.
Bye.
Left. Good boy. How about you? It's still hot out here. Look at that. Aftershave actually doesn't smell bad. Good boy, little buddy. So, that was a typical scene at the barber shop here. A little crazy. A little, not necessarily G-rated. Hi there. Good boy, little buddy. Hold on.
After the dip.
Hey. Good boy, little buddy. looking like here. All right. Let's go straight, little buddy. We're back at APH now. Jake was turning in the front sidewalk. That's going to do it for this edition of Blind Cool Tech.